Speaking of timing, so there was a couple at the Coldplay concert, and up on the Jumbotron, a man and a woman were caught hugging. I didn't see them kissing, but they were on the kiss cam, and as soon as the camera found them, they both ducked out of sight. He's married to someone else. She's the HR officer for his company. And Karen Conti, the question we were having was, well, do they have some reasonable expectation of privacy? I could see why you would say not, but what does the law say about that, Karen?
Hi, John. Invasion of privacy is really just the idea that you have some expectation of privacy and that it was breached and that you're, that makes you liable, the other person liable for civil damages. Now, you know, usually you see this in terms of, we call it intrusion upon seclusion. So you have a camera that maybe has a scope and that it's scoping into your home, a place where you think you're private, and then someone publishes that. Or you're publishing private information, like a phone number for a Supreme Court justice. We had that happen years ago. But this is a case where they're at a concert with 65,000 of their best friends. There are cameras all over the place. They're out in public. They probably know that there are these kiss cams. This case would go nowhere. I mean, there's no expectation of privacy whatsoever.
Is there, say I'm at a bar, there's no kiss cam, and somebody takes a video of us and they put it on TikTok or Instagram or wherever, Facebook, X. Are there places that are quote-unquote public, but you didn't ask to be exposed where maybe you have some recourse?
Yes, but I don't even think that bar would make it. And the reason is you're in a public place. You're in a place, and we all know that there are cameras in all kinds of establishments and outside the establishments. Now, if you're in the honeymoon suite of the Sybaris and someone is going into a window and putting a lens, a magnifying lens, and then publishing in the Sun-Times the next day, well, that's a whole different thing because you're in a place that you've paid for and you're private. You know, it's just, I don't think we have much of an expectation of privacy anymore, to be honest.
Probably not at an Airbnb either, right?
Probably not, although, you know, it depends on if you're in a room where you're doing private things. Let's just say you're in a bathroom or a bedroom. You know, those are places where you should have an expectation of privacy, and the window is mostly shut, and the curtains are mostly shut, and someone comes in and takes pictures. I think that might cross the line.
How about I'm a famous person, and at the swimming pool in my backyard, I'm having a party with some famous people or maybe some infamous people, and you fly your drone over and get video of us, and then you sell that to a tabloid?
That, I think, would cross the line, you know, given the facts there, because especially if there's, say, a fence around your entire yard and you think that you're skinny dipping or having fun with your friends and no one can see you, you wouldn't expect a drone to pass over. And now, of course, we have laws that are being passed about the use of drones and taking pictures of private places. So I think technology and the law have not really caught up with each other at this point.
Somebody said they thought that maybe on the back of a ticket to a concert or a baseball game, they reserve the right to use your image or likeness for promotional purposes. Are you familiar with what's on the back of that ticket? Is that true?
I'm really not, because those things change all the time. Most of the time, those tickets will actually waive liability for if you get hit by something, or, you know, you get hit by a ball, or you get, you know, those types of things. But generally speaking, that commercial likeness, that's a whole different situation, because if I take a picture of you and it goes on the front page of the Sun-Times and John Williams is on the front page of the Sun-Times as a news story, that's perfectly okay. But if I take John Williams and I put him in an ad for Gibson's restaurant and I say, here, look at John, he's eating a steak from Gibson's, well, in that case, we're using it to promote a moneyed endeavor, and that would be actionable by you as opposed to just the newsworthy picture.
Even if it was La Scarola?
Yes, that's a good place, John. In fact, I might see you there tonight.
I've seen you there more than once, and that is a good place. Thank you very much, Bill Comforti. Okay, well, that's interesting. I really feel bad, though, for those people. I mean, you're a fool if, I guess, you're canoodling with somebody that's not your wife in a public place, although 50,000 people at a Coldplay concert, you you'd think you would be able to hide there, and lo and behold, this couple gets caught. So I guess, what's the moral of this story? You finished that sentence. What's the moral of this story, Karen Conti?
Go to the Sybaris if you're going to canoodle, and if you go to a concert with somebody other than your wife, just stay about 3 inches apart.
Yeah, okay. Seems like I had another question about that along those lines, about the image and likeness. But you're right. So though, while you maybe don't have any expectation of privacy, they can't commercialize. They can't sell your image or likeness. They can't use it for their purposes, though, right?
That's correct. So, you know, Chris Martin, you know, couldn't take that picture and say, hey, look, even the CEO from this major company loves Coldplay. That would be for commercial gain, and then that would entitle the CEO to some compensation. And again, the other thing is just private information. That's another thing where maybe you have information that's out there, like a phone number, or you have medical information. You see that all the time where employers might accidentally disclose that to somebody else. That would warrant, that's an invasion of privacy, because even though people might have that information, to publicly disseminate it is a violation of your privacy rights.
Well, you know, along those lines, I'm thinking about the Epstein case now. I read an op-ed today that said that in the long run, we should do what Trump wants in the case of the Epstein files, and that is, if you actually don't file charges against somebody as a result of a grand jury investigation, then we should not release the files because there is evidence there or there's material there that wasn't sufficient for a criminal case but might be embarrassing or harmful to people that are caught up in the web. Well, if there's no criminal charges, then we should bury this stuff. Is that the fairest interpretation of that law or that principle?
I think that that's a fair position to take, and we're seeing that in the Idaho murder case. Just this morning, I was on News Nation talking about how the judge has to redact certain information that is going to now be released to the public, and we're not going to be able to see all the crime scene pictures, a total invasion of privacy. We're not going to be able to see Social Security numbers and addresses for witnesses. All of that, you know, is not protected, is not First Amendment available, because it does impact people who are innocent and people who have nothing to do with the crime in some ways. So yes, I think we have to be very careful when the government gets information on people in their investigation and there's no charges. There just seems to be no good public policy reason to disclose that information.
Even if those very officials all along on the campaign trail were saying this should be revealed, and now maybe it'll be embarrassing to them if it is, if we just take a step back and take a breath and say, what are the principles here? I think that's a fair explanation of them. Karen, I always enjoy your show on weekends. Do you have the same schedule this week you're going to be on?
I am, from 3 to 5 on Sunday afternoon.
We'll be listening. Thank you, Karen Conti.
Thanks, John.